All right, Psalm 102. When you're there, would you say amen? All right, Psalm 102. Notice the caption here, the title of the psalm, if you will. It says here, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. And then the verse 1 says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. I'm going to stop there. It continues here as this psalmist is crying out with great grief and apparently loss. He's going through some deep affliction, and he's pouring out his complaint or his concern before the Lord. And as we begin our study tonight, we're going to enter into the fourth mark of emotionally healthy discipleship, and that is discover the treasures buried in grief and loss. Before we pray, can we just make sure everyone has a handout? Does anyone need an outline? We have those available. You need one tonight. Good job, ushers. Man, that is wonderful. Give you guys a raise. Amen. Good pat on the back, Brother Derek. Amen. Anybody else need a handout? What about prayer guide? Everybody okay with that? Good, good. Let's pray. Father, I do want to just commit this study to you. I don't know how far we'll get. But Spirit of God, this is something that I'm not exactly comfortable teaching just because it's not very fun to teach about. It's not exactly exciting. But Lord, I was reminded in the study that that's not being real when all we look for is the sensational and the feel-good stuff and the spectacular, whatever, that's just not reality. Lord, I know you allow your children to go through very difficult things, and I pray that you would help us to understand the things you want to teach us and how we can respond in a way that honors you and that is biblical. So lead us, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're the comforter. You're the teacher, and we just want to thank you for that very truth. And so lead us tonight as we study this fourth mark of healthy discipleship. And Lord, we just rejoice in you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice mark number 4 is discovering the treasures that God has buried in grief and loss in our lives. Every person in this room has had at one time or another faced grief and loss. You may be experiencing even now. These losses vary in degree and distinction. If you don't mind, take a look back on the other side of the sheet. And we see these various types of losses. And it could be a wide range, quite frankly. The first one listed there is devastating losses. This could be the premature death of a loved one. I remember vividly the news of the passing of my dad. I was in Bible college. Dad was 58 years old, and it was a shock. And we some of us have experienced those types of things. It's just not that, but there are other things that come, whether it be disabilities or mental illness, divorce, abuse, trauma. You go through the line here, and it happens. It happens in the Christian's life, and it is something we all experience in some way or another. There's also unexpected losses, cataclysmic events such as terrorist attacks. 9/11. We think about how truly of a devastating loss that was to so many families and to our own country, our security, and it was just a really difficult time in our nation. The pandemic, COVID-19, we all were touched by that in some way, perhaps losing a family member or a loved one, or you knew someone, and those things that come into our lives, natural disasters as well. We don't deal with it as much in this part of the country, but nevertheless, it happens. We know that it is something we need to understand, that when we go through it, God's working. I think of internal losses, perhaps a loss of identity, maybe purpose, just self-worth, things like that. I think of some of the experience that we had in that was when we were leaving the mission field in Niger. I remember just really struggling with that with the Lord. I mean, we had raised support. We had been there 3 years. We had to come out one time evacuating because of terrorist attack just right there near the house. And just the young kids. And we really struggled with that. I mean, because we felt like we were losing our identity. Here we are, the missionaries that have been sent, we're depending on you to take the gospel. And we really struggled with that. I did, for sure. Joanna did. We did together. And really had to work through that. Why is this happening? This was not what we envisioned. This is not what we planned. And there's a lot of things that went along with that. And I thank God for His healing power. But nevertheless, those are there. You can relate in some way, I'm sure. I think of natural or expected losses. You know, seasons of life. Brother Edwards preached a message on that during our Bible conference. But just graduation, retirement, just a move. Or perhaps there's a group or something that doesn't meet anymore. The loss of an elderly loved one. These things come in our lives, and we have to understand that God has a way for us to grieve that's going to honor Him, and it's going to help us heal through those losses. I think of leadership losses. Those of you that are in leadership positions, whether it be managing or leading a business or whatever, there are things that come up that can be very hurtful and they're a loss. Now, all of these might be considered normal losses, but that doesn't make them any less worthy of being grieved. We understand it's just a part of life. Now, there may be even be some more that were mentioned. So what I want to look at, just with some time we have tonight, going back over to our outline, is what is it that God wants us to learn through these things, and how can we grow through them? How can we grow by being real? Because the temptation is to be superficial about them. In other words, we come into a service like this, and we all, from looking at you, everyone I look at I would assume you've had a great day, okay? But I'm only seeing 10%, okay? 90% is inside. You hold all that information. You know what you've experienced. You know what you've been through. And that's just a part of life, right? I mean, that's where we are. But there's also a way that God has designed us for us not to keep it hid. There are ways for it to be released and expressed, where we're not just a bunch of walking, just mechanical almost. Like just trying to go through the motions, and we're not just being superficial, which goes back to the foundation of this study we've been doing. We want to grow in being transformed, deep-rooted transformation as disciples of Jesus. We're not trying to just impress people. We're not trying to go through the motions. We're not just in a church culture. That's not authentic Christianity. But it is understanding that as we grieve, we embrace those times. So emotions of sadness, loneliness, hurt, disappointment, fear, loss, betrayal, and grief are to be realized and expressed in a way that honors the Lord Jesus. We keep Him in the center of all these things. We're not getting into a bunch of psychobabble, okay? We're wanting to do what God wants us to do, as we'll see some examples here. But God designed us with feelings and emotions that reveal what is happening inside of us, whether they're good or bad. And the emotions that you're experiencing, whether it's fear, worry, anger, or on a good side, joy, peace, those things that you are experiencing is because of what is going on internally. And here's the danger, and if you could just sum it all up this way. The danger is to keep it internally. God wants us to grieve our losses. He wants us to be transparent about them. What does that look like, Pastor? Well, it looks like you just being honest with people about a loss. Something you're grieved about. It doesn't mean you have to announce it to the whole world. You know, that's not what I'm suggesting. But it's also not living in isolation, because as you notice here, when we do not allow it to be released, we become hardened, frozen, just cold is the idea, indifferent, isolated, and detached from reality. We don't want to be that way. Does anybody here want to be that way? That is miserable. When we just basically come to a place in our life where we hold our emotions and our the things we're dealing with through losses, where we do not allow them to come out and in a way that would honor the Lord and be helpful to your own heart. It's just kind of like, you know, you've ever been in a conversation with someone and they just basically unloaded on you a burden, like just totally. Maybe it was out of the blue. Maybe it was a planned time having coffee, and they just you said, "Hey, what's going on in your life? Hey, what's happening? Can I help you? Can I pray?" And they just, and then at the end they say, "I am so sorry for unloading all that, but boy, do I feel better." You ever been there? Well, you just talking about it helped you. That's God's plan. It's God's plan for you to bring it to the Lord. It's God's plan for you to bring it to each other. But what we like to do, especially, and I'm going to be very careful here, because I'm sure this is just a human temptation. But there are times where I believe that in like a conservative, fundamental Baptist church, we, and I'm not saying we as Crooked Creek Baptist Church, but we got to be careful, because I believe it's a tendency. We almost look at grieving as a weakness. And that's wrong. Okay? Now, we don't grieve, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, like the world does, but we do grieve. We do struggle through the losses in our life. And I've mentioned all those categories, and maybe you thought of a couple more, and that's real. But what we got to do is to recognize that. And we're not alone. We're in good company. Notice in 1 Samuel there, I have the verses written down because we're limited on time here, but you remember Hannah. As she cried out to Eli, the high priest, he thought she was drunk because she was so broken. He thought the woman was drunk. And she said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Hannah had poured out her soul before the Lord. That's the first thing we understand about when it comes to grieving. God delights it when His children come to Him and just pour it out. He doesn't hold that against us like we're some rebel. No, bring it to God. God, this is a struggle. I don't understand it. I just got to release this to you. And the Lord says, bring it. Bring it, child. Lay it upon me. And Hannah did that. I think of Job, you know. I mean, how many chapters of this do we have a man that was just broken and releasing that? Job 7:11 is just a small glimpse of literally dozens and dozens of other verses. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Psalm 6:3, that whole psalm, you ought to note there, is an example of a believer just pouring out their heart before God. Now, I realize in the Psalms there are some self-inflicted wounds, and we all have those, don't we? And we sure do. But a lot of them are not. A lot of them are just things in life that we're experiencing today. Failure, disappointment, betrayal, just so many things that we consider that David experienced. But he said this, how long, O Lord? Am I going to be feeling this way? He just poured it out. And by the way, half or at least two-thirds of the 150 psalms are classified as laments, just people pouring out to God. Just the lamentations that are all throughout the book of Psalms. And of course, we're going to get into it a little bit next week. But even, you know, we have a book in our Bible that is a man crying out to God with grief and loss. Who is that? Jeremiah. The book of Lamentations. I mean, he prophesied, y'all need to turn back to the Lord, turn back to the Lord, turn back to the Lord. He was broken. They weren't turning. And then, of course, it happened. 586 B.C., the Babylonians come in and they destroy Jerusalem. And then on the other side, you have the Lamentations. I told you, oh God, I told him. And he's just devastated on what he knew was going to happen because they wouldn't turn. But he just poured out to the Lord. But then not only do we pour ourselves out to the Lord when it comes to grief, but we got to get in a habit of, as I mentioned, bearing one another's burdens, releasing it to each other. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's, say it, church, bear ye one another's burdens. What are burdens? It's heaviness. It's heaviness. It's a weight that you just, I just got this weight and I need to release it. I just thank God that He gives us the avenue of releasing it to Him and then to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for each of you here tonight. I hope you make it a practice to bear someone's burden. And also, I pray that you give someone the blessing of carrying your burden. Sometimes we're so prideful that we don't want anybody to know that we got a burden. Well, where do we get that from? Romans 12:15-16, we've preached through that just as we went through Romans, but this is the study God has us in the book, so we're gonna look at it. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. It's just being happy with those that are having success and victory in some way. And then it says, weep with them that weep. Those that are sad and struggling. But then it clarifies it in 16. It's so interesting because we're a body of believers, right? We're all members of one body. I'm a member of you and you're a member of me. That's what the Bible says, right? Right? Yeah, that's in the Bible. It says you are members one of another. So we belong to each other spiritually speaking in the eyes of the Lord. And so, but it says be of the same mind one toward another. That idea is be connected, be understanding, be unified with people, whether they're struggling or whether they're rejoicing, be there with them. And then he clarifies even further. Mind not high things. I believe he's talking about here people that are haughty and prideful. that are too good to talk about a burden, too good to talk about a problem, too good to share it, maybe even too good to receive it. But it says, condescend to men of low estate. Now, that word condescend, I wanted to put the definition here because I think it's a beautiful word. The Greek word is sunapagago, and it means this, to lead away or together. You get the word picture here, is that the idea is when someone is in a low place in their life, it's you getting down there with them, wherever they are in that situation, and walking together in that low place. Isn't that beautiful? Just getting low with people. Instead of always wanting to stay up here and, oh, I'm too good for that and I don't need to go there myself and I certainly don't need to share. I'm not there and I don't need to go there with anybody else. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. Don't be that. Won't be that type of church where grieving and losses and struggles are unclean. I believe that's not a good, local, healthy church. We have to be willing to come alongside. Notice what it says here at the end of that definition. This is where I love this. And this is Thayer's Greek dictionary. He says, so as to experience with others the force of that which carries away. You're entering in to the struggle with them. And when it comes to struggles, we're all so different, aren't we? We're so very unique. What really would be devastating to you as a devastating loss to you may not be a big loss to me. It's going to vary on what really hurts us. Does that make sense? We're also very unique and so very different. And so that's why it's so important for the body of Christ to be so spiritually minded and so filled with God's Spirit that I can understand you and understand, and at least trying to understand of what you're going through, instead of saying, just get with the program. Just get over it. Just rejoice in the Lord, brother. Well, listen, there's a place to say that. Don't get me wrong. We need, because the Bible says that and commands that. But listen, that may not be the verse to share when someone's at a very low spot in their life. Romans 8:28 is absolutely true, I believe with all my heart. But there may be some times where it is not the appropriate time to quote when somebody is going through a very, very difficult time. But we are mindful of that. We don't look down because you may struggle with something I don't. But here's the thing, and I close with this. Losses that are not grieved accumulate on the soul like heavy bricks, heavy burdens, heavy rocks. They accumulate and they weigh you down. Because you feel like you're trapped. You feel like you can't release it. And by the way, there may be some things you're still grieving about from 20 years ago. And it may be in part because you've never really released it. You've never released it completely to the Lord. And perhaps there's never a time where you've just taken a brother and said, brother, can I just talk to you? I got some things I feel like I need to get off my chest, my heart. Maybe a sister in Christ. I got to share this with you. Instead of just keeping it built up in there, and the devil uses that and just basically zaps us of power. It's one of his strategies. But when we have failed to attend to them, they present us from just being free. Living freely and honestly with God and others. That is what our goal is as believers. Living honestly and freely with God and others. Isn't that a good goal, brethren? That's a good goal for us to seek to accomplish. So in closing tonight, I just want just to be reminded as we enter into this study over the next couple weeks on Wednesday night, I want us to be mindful of this. Let's grow in this. And even tonight, I mean, if someone's got a burden they'd like to share. You know me. I'm all about being positive, and I just want to let's talk about the nice fuzzy feeling things, and those things are good. We need to share testimonies. We need to share victories. That's true. But as I'm telling you about a personal conviction that I've just gotten recently. We need to make it a habit to share burdens too. And we don't need, and when we share burdens, we've been going through this at Freedom That Lasts. That doesn't mean we have to go into all the details. It's just, hey, this is on my heart. Please pray for me. You don't have to give all the details. It's the general, and you may have an opportunity to share some details in a different setting. You know, is there appropriateness to that? We all understand that. But I think it's important for God's people to feel comfortable to share burden. It helps us to just facilitate, gives us a place to be real, doesn't it? Just to be real. And when you refuse to do that, you're refusing to obey Scripture. When you refuse to release that burden and say, y'all pray for me. This is a struggle. And then the other way around too, when I'm kind of, why do we have to talk about, why do we have to be negative? And, man, what? No, that's wrong too. We ought to hear that burden and say, pray, let's go ahead, let's pray about that. Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, that's heavy on their heart. Let's lift them up in prayer. That's God's plan. And so let's be that way. And I'm going to talk about in the next two Wednesdays, I'm going to talk about what it is that, what is the church's problematic response to grief and loss. So we'll get into some of the details on that. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you that you give us the liberty and the invitation and the command to be expressive with those things that we are grieving over, Lord, and things that have been a loss to us and that are hurting. And God, I just thank you for that. I pray that we as a church would not be shallow, that we would not be superficial, but that we would be genuine and be balanced. And Lord, not only do we celebrate the things that went well, but we also pray over those things that didn't go well. And we certainly uphold each other. So help us in this, Holy Spirit. This is so unnatural for my flesh, Lord. You know it is. I don't like it. But Lord, it is your way and it is best. So God, would you lead our church through this and do a deep work? And I thank you that you will and that you are. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.